When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what is going on, Millionaire University? Hope you guys are doing fantabulous today. I am so pumped for today's podcast. A couple months ago, my cousin reached out to me to see if he could pay me for a consulting call. And I'm like, dude, you're my cousin. Come on, man. But then I thought, well, what if we record it and then we could share parts of it with the Millionaire University community? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some clips from this call, and then I'll interject occasionally and share some of the lessons, some of the biggest takeaways, and how I feel like these things can be applicable to you and your business. Now, we didn't record this call as if people would be listening. So for privacy reasons, I did cut out some of the very specifics of his personal business and some of the things there. But the lessons that you'll hear and take away will be applicable to any business. All right, you ready to listen in? Come on, let's go. Where are you guys?
We're in Costa Rica.
Really? Yeah. How long have you been there?
Been here for 6 months and we'll be here for another six. We set a business goal. If we hit this, it's kind of a stretch goal, then let's go to Costa Rica for 2 months. And then we're like, well, we might as well go for four. And then I'm like, well, if I'm in Costa Rica for 6 months out of the year, it's my primary residence. I don't have to pay state taxes. So we might as well do six. And then got here and awesome. My wife loves it. And my kid is in school and he loves it. So that actually leads into my first question. Started out, I messaged you a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I was like, hey, Justin, I'm tired of my W-2. I would like to do something. What do you recommend? And you were like, have you, like, no?
Yeah.
You're like, we'll go.
Yeah.
So I did that. Of that, I captured a little over 1.1 million. And we've realized a little over half a million in profit. And we have another over half a million in profit that we'll sell this next year and realize. So that was good advice. And I quit my job, moved to Costa Rica, obviously. So anyway, I've been dreaming of a round two where I can ask some more directed questions rather than what do I do?
In a nutshell, the advice I gave him was stop dilly-dallying and focus 100% of your time on sales and revenue generating activities. Brady didn't make any excuses. Instead, he took fast and effective action. And today he's making a high six-figure income, was able to quit his day job, and is currently living out a dream with his family in Costa Rica. Well, you listened the first time, so
it shows that you know there's people that know things that you don't and can perhaps see blind spots that you have that you can't see. And so I can ask questions, but it's almost like the most important questions I have are the ones that I don't know how to ask them or what they are because I can't see it.
Next, we talked a little bit about the power of exponential growth in business. The first one is as hard as the next 10, and the first 10 are as hard as like the next 100, right?
But people, totally.
It's hard to wrap their brain around that.
Totally.
You want to keep growing and totally all about it, but always mitigate your risk. I'm all for taking financial risks in business, but there's a huge difference between taking small financial risks that could yield huge gains and taking huge risks that could yield small financial gains. While it might sound like an oxymoron, having a good risk mitigation system in place for your business will actually help with your growth. While healthy growth is good and important for a business, it can be so easy at times to get carried away and so excited about the growth that you just keep going and going without proper checks and balances or a risk mitigation system in place. And that's when you can start to get in trouble. So grow, but grow responsibly and look for blind spots. Think to yourself, is there anything I'm missing here? I always try to think of what's the worst case scenario that doing X, Y, and Z in my business could happen? And what's the best case scenario? And what's the probable scenario? If the best case scenario is amazing, the probable scenario is pretty good, and the worst case scenario isn't that bad, then I know I can go forward. Your returns are huge.
Yeah. I just calculated this fun number the other day. I took the ROI, figured out per day ROI. I can multiply that by 365. So now it's an annualized ROI. And so annualized ROI in stocks is like 8 to 12% on average, right? I realized it would be way smarter for me to borrow money at whatever percentage, whether it's 12, 15, 25%.
It took me several years before I really started to understand ROI and the impact that it could have on my business. And I don't think it's just coincidence that within 12 months of understanding this principle is when we made our first seven-figure income. I think most people understand that if you invest $100,000 and you get a 10% return, then you get $10,000 back. So a one-time return of $100,000 invested at 10% would be $10,000. Usually when people talk about earning a certain percentage on their money, they're talking about on an annual basis. But what if you could make 10% on $100,000 multiple times per year? Now, what if you could make 100% or more on your money multiple times per year? This is why we talk about business as though it's a money-making machine. Once you have your systems down, the return on the capital invested can be absolutely insane. Are they out of money too?
Not yet, but they have run out of money a couple times.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll run out of money real quick. Here's one thing I'm trying to figure out. Cost me about $560 and I make about $17,000 on it, which is about a 60-to-1 ratio. And that's a little crazy. So for every dollar I put in, I'm getting about $60 back, which I think means the only thing I care about is how do I structure things so that I can increase how much I'm spending as much as I possibly can while still doing it safely and keeping the same margins. Because to get $60 back for every one I put in, the only question is how do I put more in?
Exactly. Now, I want to make something very clear as we're talking about some of these really big and exciting numbers. This doesn't necessarily account for all overhead costs, and it definitely doesn't include Brady and his wife's time. In fact, there are many instances in business when you don't spend any money and your return is infinite. Having that been said, I believe that incredible returns like this are the reward for someone who is willing to put in their time, energy, and effort up front into building something, into building the machine that will then pay them back time and time again.
How are you filtering the calls? You said you have like a VA. Like, could you put more money in the machine without the machine breaking? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it makes total sense. And that's what I've been thinking about the last few days, and I can't. So the VA, he'll find leads and qualify them, kind of. From there, I nurture the lead and agreement signed, and then I send it to my wife. So I have someone finding the leads, doing the marketing. I'm doing the selling, and my wife is doing the back end. I'd say my biggest bottlenecks are I'm doing the selling and lead nurturing while also trying to grow the company and do whatever else that needs.
Yeah.
And so both are suffering. There's leads that I need to follow up with. There's leads that are in the pipeline and I'm sure ready to go. I just need to call them and I'm not getting to that. So that's one bottleneck. And the other bottleneck is cash, more marketing. But I need to fix both of those, because if I get more cash, put more into marketing, I still need someone. So I guess that brings up the question, what am I looking for? Am I looking for a sales guy that's going to work the leads and get agreements signed? Or am I looking for a higher level director or a business development guy that's going to build out my sales better than I could? Or should I just stop focusing on other parts of the business and just sell, like just negotiate the deal? I don't know.
There's not a right or wrong answer. In business, a lot of times we look for what's the perfect 100% answer. It's more like, okay, what is the next? In business, we're always solving problems. At first, you were just solving the problem of how do I make money? Then somewhere along the way, you found and you're like, oh, like, let me try this. You're like, oh, this is even juicier. For what I put in, I get more out. So now you're trying to solve the problem. How do I get more of this? How do I make more of this work? So my thoughts are always look for the things that take the most time and are the easiest for someone else to do. Whatever it is.
Say that again. I want to process that.
I'd write down everything that takes your time, first of all, and then circle or underline or highlight, whatever, the things that take the most of your time that also would be the easiest for someone else to do.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Totally. 100%.
In Brady's case, it was pretty clear what that was.
So the only piece you're missing is just like a really good salesperson.
And for that role, do I want someone who is familiar with sales, or is somebody with a good phone voice who understands good enough, they can just send an email and then follow up?
I think anyone can work. You're going to get pros and cons with each person, as long as she has no problem talking to people. And the thing is, you're going to teach her anyway.
Yeah, I need to hire someone that I trust their judgment on this, because it's huge.
Okay, let's work through this here. I got to a point, I never saw a contract. I never heard about a deal until it was under contract for what my team thought was a really good price.
Mm.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Then I wanted to give the final approval.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
Your goal should be to not even look at a deal until it's been accepted. That's your job.
That's true. I can still vet it at that point. I hadn't thought about that. That's your only job.
You could probably 5X your time if you can get that figured out. You can find a couple people and let them see if they're good. Just keep filling the top of the machine. If you can hire a sales team, and if you're low on money, like with the amounts of money that you're making from this, I could probably help you get capital. I mean, I like to make a lot of money too, right? So
Yeah, great. Right. And like part of me is like, holy crap, I'm giving away. But then the other half of me is like, I made so much more. Like if I were trying to do all this on my own dime, then it'd just be this huge bottleneck that I'd always be stuck on that. So I'm like, I am happy to give. I'm happy to let go of, let somebody else fund and give away the profits.
But if you come across someone who wants to lend you money at 10% annualized, then you jump on it, right? But there's tiers. You got the people who are just stoked to not have their money in the stock market or in a CD or in their bank account.
I have the machine that's ready to pump more out. And I've been a little gun shy about turning it on because running out of funds.
Money is never really the problem. Money will always follow good opportunities. Create good opportunities and money will never be an issue. The day that you wake up and you're like, I don't know what to do today, that's when you go find another territory to go into. Mm. But right now, you're too busy even just trying to negotiate these deals that you don't have the capacity for that or the need.
Right.
I look at it as like, there's like a flow, right? And it's like, where's the dam? Where's the dam that's keeping the water from just flowing?
Right. Yeah.
You turn the machine off because you're the bottleneck. So if you turn that back on, but then also you become a bottleneck when you have too many deals because you can't negotiate all of them. So that's the other bottleneck. Yeah. Once you get to the point where you don't have enough deals, then that's where the dam is. And then you got to go find a new stream. But it doesn't sound like that's the issue just yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. That gives me some clarity, a clear way to think about it.
Damn, like you turned the machine off. It's not like the machine is on and like nothing's coming out.
Right.
So it sounds to me like if the machine's not even on, why go create another machine in another area when you don't have the capacity to even do everything in your own, the area you're in right now? Do you have something good going right now?
Yes.
I would make as much money as you can doing this right now. And then like, I think you're smart knowing that, hey, this may not be here forever because some people don't ever move with the cheese, right? But
yeah.
I remember when I was doing short sales and we were just doing a ton of short sales and I was speaking at these events and people were like, what are you going to do when like short sales don't work anymore? And I'm like, I plan on making enough money to where I don't need to ever do anything. Like, what are you, I'm not worried about that right now. When it's still going well, I'm not going to worry about the next thing.
Yeah, I know.
It's going well.
Good to hear that. That's really good to hear that, especially because the last person I hired that I thought would be a good consultant, his only input was, I don't think this is sustainable. I'm like, okay, maybe, but.
But right now it's working.
But like, do you want me to stop doing it? And
I don't know who that was. Something else? I don't know who that was, but they must be like, I don't know. Because to me, it's like, you're making killer. Your numbers are insane. Like I was ready to get on and give you all this advice. I'm like, I'm giving you very minimal advice because sometimes people give someone too much advice, right?
Totally.
It's the small things. You're already doing a lot really good. Just keep making a few small tweaks, man.
Cool.
Yeah. I wouldn't change a whole lot. And then sure, there might come a point where you're like, oh, now I'm only getting like one deal every 3 weeks. Okay. Then it's time to start looking at other opportunities or going to more areas or what else can I do? But
yeah,
if you can make a few million dollars and then invest that money, dude, I don't know, man.
That's good to hear.
You're 30 years old. It's not like you can. It's not like you can't go make money more money after if you stop making money here.
Yeah, totally.
People are funny sometimes.
And I'm like, okay, so if it's not sustainable, I should stop now and work at Jamba? Like, I don't know what you're telling me.
Yeah, no.
But it took me like a couple weeks of ruminating on that to be like, wait, I think that was terrible advice.
I really resonated with Brady here. It did not take Tara and I long to realize that we needed to be very selective with whose advice we took when it came to business. that's what I told you right at the beginning. Half the things that everyone says, I don't agree with. You're to a point now where you're more successful than like most people. So you can't take advice from most people.
Yeah.
And even if someone is successful, they will still give you advice because they feel like if you ask someone's opinion, they're going to give it to you. Tara and I got to the point where we are very careful.
That's true.
We are very careful about whose opinion we asked things. Even people who might have millions of dollars, they don't know how to do exactly what you do in the way that you do it. You have a gift. Only a small percentage of people actually take action. Ideas are a dime a dozen. I could come up with 100 ideas right now of businesses that could make millions of dollars. I could give them all to you. It's the execution. And as you execute, as you've seen, then you start to see the little nuance, the little things that work. And you're like, oh, well, if I try this. And it's addition and math, right? Like addition and multiplication. I mean, that's all it is.
And you couldn't see it 100 steps into the future. You couldn't be like, no. Oh, well, how do I scale a business? Like, you don't have a business to scale. Make something profitable.
Exactly. Yeah.
Justin, I can't thank you enough for your time. I feel like that really helped solidify my mind the next steps and the bottlenecks that I need to solve.
Yeah, if you ever need money, like I can get you money. I'm not cheap. I don't, totally. You know what I mean? But if you know, yeah. Like I know I make such a huge percentage on my money, I don't really care. Yeah. Then yeah, we can figure that out. I want to like ramp this up. I could probably figure out a way that we can get some more capital raised.
Cool.
But I'm telling you, like, if you run across people that are willing to do it for less, like, dude, yeah. That's the game. Like, you keep trying to like put money in the machine. And then if you hear about people that will give you money, cheaper money, then great.
Yeah. But at the same time, if I can get an investor with deep pockets, huge returns, and get him his money back quickly so that he's happy, so that I can just solve that bottleneck. And now I don't have to go get funding for 10, 15, 20 people.
Totally.
Like, I'll give away more have to stress about that anymore.
So basically, find the things that are taking you a long time that you think you could easily teach someone else to do. Don't worry about the money for now. You might want to first just turn the machine back on if you think you can handle it. Unless you're like, oh no, I still have a bunch of leads I haven't followed up with. Then get those going first, right? Find the things that someone else can do that take a lot of your time.
Okay.
I guess number two is the money. Number three is that acquisitions person. So that would open you to really look at the bird's eye view, consider other markets, consider different opportunities and stuff like that. So,
okay. And I think I've got a guy. I'm going to have an interview with him tomorrow. So cool. Summer sales. Oh, yeah.
Maybe don't give him all of the deals at first because you want to make sure you're still getting deals coming in. But it sounds to me like you'll figure it out pretty quickly. Because if within a week, if you can get a couple deals and 2 weeks go by and he didn't get any, then you'll have to train him more or be like, oh, this isn't working.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Justin.
You're killing
it. Tell your family we say hi.
Okay, we will. We'll talk to you later. All right. All right, bye. The moral of the story, be like Brady. It started with clear intention. Brady wanted to be financially free. He wanted to make more money for his family. He wanted to be able to travel. He wanted to be able to quit his W-2. He then picked a category to focus on, started learning about things that he could do in that area, started taking action that really counts. Marketing and sales, revenue generating activities. He didn't go get a fancy office. He didn't start making a bunch of business cards. He did the things that really matter to drive revenue in his business. As he did that, he started to see what was working and what wasn't working. Then he doubled down on those things and he started to find his niche. And that's where things got really exciting. The truth is, when I talked to Brady a couple years ago, I could not have had the same conversation that I had with him. It had to basically be like, go do these things, go take these actions. The truth is, I didn't necessarily think that he would. Not that, I mean, he's amazing, but just because most people don't. It's almost like it's so obvious. It's there hitting them, looking at them in the face that they would like stumble upon it, that it just doesn't seem like it's going to be that big of a thing because it's just right in front of them. But he did. And by doing that, he got lots of data back. So he was able to talk to me about these are the things that are working. And it's very clear. You guys could probably hear it. It's very clear that as he shifts and changes just a few more things, he'll once again be able to easily double, triple, quadruple his current income, helping him go from W-2 to seven figures in about 3 years. And that's what it's all about. That is why we created Millionaire University, to help more people like you go from where you are now to where you really want to go in life. And that, my fellow and future millionaires, brings us to the end of another Millionaire University podcast. For more money-making goodness, go to millionaireuniversity.com. And as always, we would love a review from you on Apple or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, this is Justin Williams, your Chief Money-Making Officer, signing off.